I'm right. Pressed the right. No, I got it. I got the right one.
So, you know, you could tell. I thought they had the wrong one, so now we got the right one. So you can erase that, can't you?
I'm not taking the time.
Well, people should be getting used to it.
But Wednesday the 20th.
Today is
February.
Exactly. Oh, 2019. Yeah.
Another 5 inches of snow.
Well, I got a couple of starters here. I happen to remember I was telling the angel that, you know, God is a rancher. It says in Psalms 50 verse 10, he says, every beast of the forest is mine, and the cattle on a thousand hills.
Mm-hmm.
Well, anyway, that has something to do with something else. I have been so overly concerned about the church roof, you know, and I have been for a long time, but this morning that I was thinking about it, and I thought, you know what, that's not my building. I don't own that. If God wants to use this building, he'll make sure he takes care of it. You know what happened right after that? I felt one of the greatest releases. Next thing I knew, I looked out and the window was really blowing. And I went out there and I just cleaned a lot of that stuff off that roof.
I was looking at it. There's not much snow on that roof.
It looks nice.
Mm-hmm. To begin with.
Looks nice.
They didn't go very far up, did they? What did they charge us for that?
I haven't seen that yet. Yes. He told me, he mentioned that they got as far as they could from their truck. You know, they were stood on the bed of the truck and on the east side. But on the west side, he talked about working around those trees. And basically said, pretty tough to do this job if you don't go on the roof. And they said, the two guys, 2 hours. So I imagine it's going to be significantly less than their not exceed number.
Oh, yeah. It should be, you guys, 2 hours? No more than $200, I wouldn't think. Should be less than that.
Something like that.
Well, it didn't.
Kind of thinks maybe the Lord is using that situation for you, though, huh?
For me, yeah.
It'll help get your priorities right here a little bit.
I still think of what we need to do.
I think this whole situation was for me, Keith.
Wait, it was what?
It's for me.
It was for you?
Yes. Because I was being tested in patience. Because we only flip-flopped on it 4 times in 4 days.
Yeah.
Twice in 1 day.
Well, it's just like I told you the other day. I looked at my shed roof and, you know, and it's just a whole shed, you know, with steel roof and, you know, it was about so far apart on the joint. And I looked at that and I just, you know what? It's in your hands. Either the roof is going to stay there, or it's going to fall in. You know. And I told you the same with the church.
Yeah.
Don't worry about it. Let the Lord worry about it. You know?
Yeah, well, you know what? It didn't take long. As soon as I got a real victory in it today, the wind started to blow like crazy. And I looked out there and I saw the clouds of snow coming off the roof. And I thought, oh, me, a little faith or no faith.
I'm going to tell you right now, it didn't blow at my house like that. So it had to be just over here because it wasn't my house.
I looked out there and there was just a cloud of snow coming off the roof. I thought, oh my, oh me, of no faith.
Actually, that roof had less than anybody here in the neighborhood.
There's not much snow there.
To begin with, even. Oh. I mean, after all those snows.
But it should have.
Yeah, I don't know. It's like the fallen trees protected the one side.
I don't know.
And then I think wind must have helped on this side somehow.
I don't know.
Because it was only like that, and everybody else's was like this.
Yeah.
Yeah, he does look after us in a way that is
well, he has.
So complete, you know.
Yeah,
so.
And I think with Corky was telling us about this thing with Simon and I told you his name, the evangelist.
William Branham.
William Branham. And that stopped out here. And a number of people have done that. And I'm saying God's hand had been on this church. His hand had been on this people. And even people that are not there at this moment, but one day will be again, under different circumstances. If we can get the elevated people out of the picture,
mm-hmm.
you know, get the elevated creation out of the picture. God didn't intend for any one of us to be elevated. You know, I there's a scripture, and I want to say it's in Romans. Maybe Romans 12, where it says, present yourselves as a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable unto the Lord. You know what the next line says?
It's your reasonable service.
It's your reasonable service. mm-hmm. And so the best thing we can do is reasonable.
Mm-hmm.
That's what we should be expected to do. And which brings me to another point. There's a scripture setting, and I'm not even sure that I got enough in my mind to straighten out, but there's a scripture, a verse where it says, you know, to your father and mother, it says, don't say that this is a gift.
Well, Corba?
Uh-huh.
The thing about Corba?
Yeah. This is not a gift. And don't say that this is a gift. And it's like, what do you owe to your mother and dad? Reasonable service. This is the gift. And, do we give gifts unto God? Or does God give gifts to us? We can't give a gift to God.
No, we don't have anything to give him, do we?
No, we have nothing. Mm-hmm. We deserve nothing. And God wants us to know that we deserve nothing, so we won't get puffed up in our own conceits and think we do. We don't deserve anything. But a lot of people, we went out to, I think it was with you the other day, went over to Culver's, and please, you know, forgive me for picking up any one particular person, but there's a minister that I know really well. I know of him, and he's talked to me a number of times. And he walked in, and I thought, pomp and pious is about the best thing I can think of. And I thought, I don't know if I've ever been in that state. Lord, please have mercy on me, but Lord, have mercy on him. I could just see it. You know, the reverend or
Randy,
married to Betty.
Randy Bodine.
Yeah, Randy Bodine.
Florida.
He used to call me the Right Reverend.
Yeah.
And you know what? That's offensive. Except that knowing him, it didn't bother me.
He was fooling around.
Yeah. And John Ryder used to say stuff like that too, but. That never has been acceptable to me. It never has been, and I don't even know why, except that I've never seen it. I've never seen this picture in the scriptures, like what we see in when Jesus ascended on high and gave gifts unto men. He didn't give elevated people. He gave people that produced something. They produced a righteous church, holiness, the ministry, you know what I mean? That's what it says. Edification of the church, the ministry. They were to teach, they trained people to go out and minister. And I'll tell you one thing they didn't do. they didn't. I mean, those ministries were not to promote the Lutheran Church or the Methodist Church or the Baptist Church. Or there's nothing in there about that. And yet, each one of those churches, because they think, are convinced that they are righteous and holy, and they have the truth, because they're convinced in themselves that they have it. They're not open to receive the truth. You see how it's kind of like this thing that I started and never did finish, but about the leaven of the Pharisees. What's wrong with it? What's wrong with the Pharisee doctrine? Why is it called leaven? Because there were people that will elevate them and exalt them and lift them up, and they will buy into that doctrine.
Self-works.
Until it just consumes the whole loaf. Mm-hmm. Yeah. So when Jesus stood toe-to-toe with the Pharisees, all of those people that were around were dumbfounded. It's like, well, what business does this man have tried to follow the Pharisees? I mean, they're the cream of the crop. Wouldn't you say that this fellow is the cream of the crop?
Mm-hmm. You know, I picked up on what you were talking. You know, I saw the man.
Yeah.
And I picked up on what you were talking about. And, you know, you almost have to pity him.
Yeah.
Almost have to pity him.
Yeah.
Have that kind of elevated...
I didn't even know the guy's name, but I've met him, talked to him for lots of times, especially over the Cobras.
Yeah. I don't think it's too unusual, though, for...
No, it's common.
Church ministers.
It's common. I was taught that through Community Chapel. I was taught to promote my position to, you know, and remember a gal, it was her and her husband came to minister in the church, and she got mad at me, and she said, right in front of a bunch of people, it was a horrible display on her part, but she says, I mean to understand why you get along so well with all these people. You're just like him.
Terry Myrick. Mm.
Well, I wasn't going to be specific. Name was.
Oh, yeah. Okay.
Okay. Well, it won't matter.
I was just trying to help you out, Keith.
I'd rather with you than me. Well, I heard what you said. I didn't say it. Somebody else said it. We had a visitor that night. No, I'm just teasing.
Mm. More than one.
So,
you know, to go back to what you opened with in faith, Susan had a situation that made a very conscious decision, and God answered. You know, it's kind of a thing in progress, but there was an immediate response or movement in the positive direction by kind of just, like I said, taking you out of the way.
Yep.
The flesh just keeps trying to elevate itself and put it in there involved, and it's not. Really, you just take it. What do you think? It doesn't matter. What does God think? That's all that matters.
God is not willing that any flesh should glorify itself before in his presence. He's not willing any flesh. And so if he finds a people that where no one is willing wants to be glorified or edified or elevated or whatever else, I think those are the ones he'll use. Isn't it kind of that scripture that we were talking about last week in Isaiah 66? To this man will I look.
Mm. I still have a picture in my head of, you know, like God, like looking through a junk drawer trying to find.
You know, that's good.
You know, yeah.
That's good.
Yeah.
I remember you talking about that.
Well, Susan just kind of said, just searching.
Yeah, right.
Just kind of just
that was good.
Poking his head in every church, looking for someone who's looking for him.
Mm-hmm.
Do I see anybody here I know?
Oh, yeah.
You know, that's really. Yeah.
Well, somebody last week brought that verse up.
I guess junk drawer could be a little harsh, but you know, you want to go there.
Well, you know, the drawers that you're going to, you know, where you find the stray stuff, you know.
I
perfectly understand. I was.
Yeah.
There. 30 years of protecting privacy, and boom.
Mm-hmm.
Where was that verse?
Which, who are you asking?
I think Ken brought it up last week. Oh, no, it's 66. Not 62, it's 66. Chapter 66, Isaiah. Yeah. And anyway, no matter where you read it, it's phenomenal. But
can't find a really bad spot, right?
Yeah. They shall not labor in vain or bring forth trouble for trouble. For they are the seed of the blessed of the Lord, and of their offspring with them. And it shall come to pass that before they call, I will answer. And while they are yet up speaking, I will hear. The wolf and the lamb shall feed together, and the lion shall eat straw like the bullock, and dust shall be the serpent's meat. They shall not hurt one or destroy in all of my holy mountain, saith the Lord. This is something else. But then in chapter 66, thus saith the Lord, as heaven is my throne, and the earth is my footstool, where is the house that you build under me, and where is the place of my rest? See, that's not God's house. We're the temples. But not in an elevated state, in a humble state. For all those saints hath my hand made, and all of those saints have been, saith the Lord, but to this man will I look. Even to him that is poor and of a contrite spirit and trembles at my word. That's the one that gets his attention. And what is happening? We're starting to tremble at it. Because we're starting to, by faith somehow, why is God doing that? And I don't have an answer. I don't know that we can come up with an answer. But for some reason, we are getting access to some things that I sometimes look at it and I think we don't have any right to them. Is that why we're getting it? Maybe because we know that.
Yeah,
when I heard a voice, I knew that if the Lord came, I was going to go to hell. I wasn't suspecting that. I wasn't supposing that. It didn't matter who told me what. I knew that I did not deserve to go anyplace except to hell. You know, that's not a real good place to be in.
Mm-hmm.
And the next thing I know, I hear a voice. I've never felt that way since. That's been 20 years ago. But you know, the thing God wants us to keep remembering, we deserve nothing. It's grace and mercy, which means it's unmerited favor because we don't deserve anything. Isn't that what that means? Mm-hmm. It's unmerited. But we want it. We want to deserve something.
Yeah.
I mean, I wouldn't. I'd like to have some.
The natural man just naturally gravitates toward that kind of thinking.
Yeah. I mean, I must have done some good thing to cause Carol to react, didn't I?
Mm-hmm.
You know what the reaction is? To the Word of God.
Yeah.
What did I have to do with that? Except to have somebody type it in. You know what I mean? What do I have to, what did I have to do with that? And the thing that I prayed, I said, Lord, please lead in this. I want to get out of the leadership. Lead. Mm-hmm. Guide. You know? Isn't that what he does?
Mm-hmm.
He guides men into truth. I don't know what the end result of, but at this point, I can shout glory because I've seen a phenomenal something happen. Scary.
Mm.
Making me wish that Joanne could see it.
But yes, and she is.
She does, I think. Yeah. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I'm excited about?
Huh?
You know what I'm excited about? This work that you're seeing, it's not anywhere near done.
No. No.
That's exciting to me.
No. And the thing...
God's going to do a whole lot more.
Yeah. Corky, there's a lot of things that really affect me, but one of them is Susan. You know, the only person that I saw in those dreams I had way back when, and I had a kidney stone, and I was supposed to stay in the hospital, and they put me on morphine, and don't leave the hospital, you know, don't go out and drive the car, the worst thing you can do because you're on morphine, and to try to kill the pain, and me and another guy rolled around on her, have you ever been, had a kidney stone? You don't want one. We rolled around like a couple of idiots on the floor because the pain is so intense and not anything else we can do. You ever hear of people doing that?
My uncle had a kidney stone and said they call it the walking disease because the only time you're not in pain is if you're moving.
No. I didn't even find that because I was in pain no matter what I did. But anyway, they put me on morphine. And so I got out and got in the car or truck, which I was not supposed to do, and took off. Well, I parked in a parking lot and fell asleep, and I had one of these dreams. And one day, I had four dreams in different parking lots where I was at with this truck while I was on morphine. So, you know what my mind is? It can't be from God. I was hiring a kite. As the saying goes, how could that be God? But you know what the problem was? They were in sequence. One dream fit into the next dream, fit into the next dream. And I mean, they're hours apart. Do you follow what I'm saying? So it took me a while to ever think that I could possibly have been God doing it. It don't make sense. But in one of those things, I don't know if one of those or not, I saw Susan a couple times. Get up, walk to out someplace over there and lay hands on somebody and they come out of a wheelchair and just try, you know, disrupt by great, wonderful, whatever it was I was trying to bring. And I remember in a dream, I can remember it real vividly in this dream, I said, no, Susan, no, don't, Susan, please don't. I knew what was going to happen. Sure enough, she didn't read my mind and she went and prayed or something. God healed him, and that was the end of my message.
Mm-hmm.
Is that one of your dreams while you're under morphine?
I don't know.
Oh. Because I'm sitting here thinking, I've never been under morphine, but let's say I've been drunk a few times.
Well, I tell you.
And you know what? You don't have control of your mind so much. You know. And maybe God was able to get through to your mind at that point, past you, or past the human, you know, your part of your mind, and get into the You know, I don't know, but I mean,
the morphine,
you know,
was not taken with me. It was not doing it.
Mm.
And you know, they never did find it.
Well, you must have asked it then.
Monday, I didn't have it.
And now the Lord was getting your attention.
Mm-hmm. Oh, He did. I've had three or four of them. The first one I had, I passed out. And they found that one. And it was all from dairy products, whether you call that the calcium. It was a calcium store. Mm-hmm. But I don't remember. I know I've had it several of them. Hmm.
You're talking about how we want to take credit, and certainly that would be characteristic of me. But you know, on those blessed occasions when I have no interest in taking credit, I want to give God the glory. Those are so good. Why would you want to be anything having that outlook? You know.
I think it is such a common thing, so common to happen that Paul was given a thorn in the flesh, and I never heard a voice that told me that my imbalance is a thorn in the flesh. But I tell you what, it has helped me. It's helped me from wanting to take credit for anything. I just want this all over with and get into the next life. And you know what? I think we're all starting to walk closer and closer to that. The step that where we go from here into the next one is just, that's it. And the thing about it, a lot of people don't know how, that it's real. But I do. Mm. I don't know why I do, but I do.
Mm-hmm.
It's not a pie in the sky, or it's not an empty hope. It's a real thing. And a lot of people don't recognize it, you know? So when it says, eye has not seen, and ear has not heard, and hasn't entered into the heart of a man what God has prepared for them to love him, I know that coming right ahead of us, that's what we got. The older I get, the closer it's got to get. That hope, anyway.
That you're safe in saying it's closer.
What?
You're safe in saying it is closer.
Yeah. Mm. Well, Paul thought it was pretty close to his day.
Yeah. Well,
we wish our life would remain.
Mm-hmm.
Why did you use the word Paul, or we, Paul? Why did you say that?
Mm-hmm.
I read a scripture in a cant, and I'm not sure where it was. I thought maybe it might have been in Daniel, but I couldn't find it just now. And it was kind of, I think it was in the fact, it was a prophecy, but it said, and when he comes, those who are asleep in the grave will be raised. Some to righteous, some to a good, you know, some to heaven and some to hell. Mm. So, I'm thinking, so do we have this all wrong where we think everybody's up there watching everything going on? And, you know? And is that just us trying to make ourselves feel better, or, you know?
But in Revelations, too, it says, the dead were crying out, how long must we rest before the day? Is that Revelations from the grave?
Yeah.
You know, and he says, rest a little while longer?
Yeah.
The souls that are under the altar, what's that mean?
Oh, yeah, the souls that are under the altar, yeah. Crying out, how long, oh Lord, before we kind of get...
Be avenged or something.
Be avenged, yeah.
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 It's interesting.
Yeah. Well, you know, to hydraulic to get us, get him off us here on something. But, you know, we have two accounts of the birth of Christ, and one of them is he's met by Ananias and who's a woman that Simeon and
Anna.
Anna, yeah. And and so anyway, and they, you know, anyway, they see him here. Now, so is he a baby or is he a boy? Was he just a tiny baby when they held him?
I think it was at the time he was circumcised, which was 8 days after his birth.
Okay.
I think it was.
Yeah. Okay, so then Herod went and had all the
under two killed.
Two years
boys.
Old.
Right.
And based on the time frame that he understood, it says. And so, do we have a 2 year timetable we're working with that he actually go into the temple and then did he go into Egypt after that, or what happened?
Well, I think Pilate was just going to make double sure, because he wasn't real positive, so he just went, well, just kill all of them from 2 years old and under, and that way I'll be sure.
Or Herod? Yeah.
Yeah,
Herod.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Pilate,
uh-huh.
Herod.
Yeah.
You know, I think he was just trying to make positive he was getting taken care of the one that he thought was going to...
Casting the wide net.
Yeah.
But you're right, so it's a little funny to reconcile. Now, I think it's in the Matthew account where Herod ordered, you know, and the angel came to Joseph in a dream, told him to take the child to Egypt, and that could have been a while later. You know, that could have been...
Well, that's what I'm wondering.
It could have been. You know, the wise men came, and it could have been a number of months after his birth. It's just not specific.
No, because it seems like something like that would not be that much different.
Yeah.
I don't understand what.
Well,
2 year difference.
In the one account, we got to hustle him off to Egypt because Herod's going to kill him. So he flies, you know, goes. In the other account, they take him into Jerusalem to the temple to be circumcised. You know, you just don't get a sense of the urgency to watch out for Herod. That's basically what you're getting at.
I'm saying.
Right. You know. And, if they're taking him to the temple, think Herod would, you know. They don't mesh real nice. They don't really conflict with each other, but they don't mesh real nice.
But it says, let me see how it's put in Luke. I noticed that there was a strange wording.
There at the temple.
Now listen, let me word this, or let me read it, most worded. Okay, Behold, there was a man in Jerusalem. This is in Luke 2:25, whose name was Simeon, and the same man was just and devout, waiting for the consolation of Israel, and the Holy Ghost was upon him. Okay, now listen to this. And it was revealed unto him by the Holy Ghost that he should not see death before he had seen the Lord's Christ. And he came by the Spirit into the temple, and when the parents brought in the child Jesus to do for him after the custom of the law, then he took him up in his arms and blessed God and said, this looks to me like we're not talking about a baby. The child Jesus. It almost looks like that he took him up in his arms and blessed God and said, Lord, now let's thou thy servant depart in peace according to thy word. My eyes have seen thy salvation, which thou hast prepared before the face of all people. A light. Are you following what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
It doesn't look here like we're talking about a baby. What?
When I'm talking about that movie thing I was watching?
Yeah.
In the series, it showed him holding the baby, all wrapped up as a baby, as it was kind of almost like a newborn.
Yeah.
Saying these things when he was talking about it, when he said, what was it?
Well. And Joseph and his mother marveled at those things which were spoken of him. And Simeon blessed him and said unto Mary his mother, behold, this child is set for the fall and rising again of many in Israel, for a sign which shall be spoken against, a sword shall whatever. And there was one Anna, a prophetess, a daughter of Phanuel, of the tribe of Asher or something. She was of great age, and she lived with her husband 7 years after her virginity, and she was a widow of about 84 years, which departed not from the temple, but served God with fastings and prayer night and day. And she coming in that instant gave thanks likewise unto the Lord, and spake of him to all of them that looked for redemption in Jerusalem. Well, see, it doesn't really say, but it almost looks like we're not talking about a baby here.
Yeah, well, earlier on here, Keith, there in Luke 2, it says, when 8 days were accomplished for the circumcising of the child, his name was called Jesus. And when the days of her purification according to the law of Moses were accomplished, and women did have to be purified after giving birth, and I don't know how long that was, 40 days or I don't know what, they brought him to Jerusalem to present him to the Lord. As is written in the law of the Lord, every male that openeth the womb shall be called holy to the Lord, and offer sacrifice according to that which is said in the law of the Lord, a pair of turtle doves, 2 young pigeons. And then, and behold, a man in Jerusalem whose name was Simeon. It was this occasion when, after the days of her purification, and I forget how, how long that took, purification after giving birth. So I think maybe Glenn's right, or the movie, it was a baby. Funny to use the word child, though. You'd think they'd call him an infant or something. But
yeah, but they use child all through Matthew, too.
Oh, take the child.
Because it says, now after Jesus was born in Bethlehem of Judea in the days of Herod, but it doesn't really get, then the wise men came because there was a star. Then the star was over when he was just born, right?
Mm-hmm. I don't know.
I mean, we
had that picture in the Christmas story, the Christmas pageant thing in school, but.
Well, the star guided into the stable.
Yeah.
Right.
Oh. And I think they were there right after the birth, or because they presented gifts to the babies.
So Herod, that's when he got concerned, when the wise men came asking,
Yeah,
where's the... brought up the fact that there'd been a child born. And when Herod heard this, he was troubled, and all Jerusalem with him. So he gathered the priests and scribes together and inquired of them where Christ was to be born. And they said, in Bethlehem. But, you know, then Herod, when he secretly called the wise men, determined with them what time the star appeared. So it doesn't say...
Well, to Charlie's point, I mean, why would Herod have made it 2 years and younger?
Yeah, I don't know.
It says, when they heard the king, they departed. And behold, the star which they had seen in the east went before them till it came and stood over where the young child was.
Yeah.
And I think you have to read all the accounts and you'll get a picture, you know, because different ones probably give you more information.
You know, I don't think that account there in Matthew gives an indication as to how much time passed between the birth of Jesus and the coming of the wise men.
Well, it says 8 days. It doesn't say 8 days in Luke, too.
In Luke, it does say 8 days. But after the birth, he was circumcised.
Well, yeah, no, it doesn't say that in Matthew, no.
No.
So anyway, that's just one of those things, which is immaterial.
Well, yeah, I was kind of wondering. What was the significance?
You know, I don't, it doesn't. In Matthew, it doesn't say anything about any stables.
No, know. It doesn't.
That's the loop.
Does Mark give an account of it?
No, huh?
Mark doesn't.
No, he's
grown
up.
He starts when, yeah.
Right. And John doesn't either.
So it's Luke, huh?
Yeah.
Well, Matthew, no.
Yeah, I just read that. It doesn't really give a for sure timeline.
The New Testament, translated out of the original Greek and with the former translations diligently compared and revised by His Majesty's special command.
Yeah.
Now Matthew, was he a publican?
Yeah.
Okay, now Luke kind of makes it. Let's see. So, well, this is talking about the shepherds.
It's one of those things that you kind of hope that you can kind of
put your finger on. To be registered with Mary, his betrothed wife, who was with child, that was when they had to go. So it was that while they were there, the days were completed for her to be delivered. And she brought forth her firstborn son, wrapped him in swaddling clothes, laid him in a manger. So, and then over here it says, and they came with haste from found Mary and Joseph and the baby lying in a manger.
Mm-hmm. That's so, the Luke account.
Yeah, it looks like two accounts.
Yeah.
Two different things.
Well, it's just one isn't giving a lot of detail. It just... It's not as intense. Luke was the one that liked to record every possible thing, you know.
Kind of he was good at that.
He was a detailed person.
Yeah.
Now, I guess, Connor, what I was saying, it says, now when Jesus, this is Matthew, beginning chapter 2. Now when Jesus was born in Bethlehem of Judea in the days of Herod the king, behold, there came wise men from the east to Jerusalem. Suggesting it was right around the time of the birth
yeah.
that those wise men came.
Right.
I'm going to set this.
So, So, you know, we get this, and then we get in Luke. They take it to the temple. And, you know, he's after a days of purification.
Yeah, because when 8 days were completed for the circumcision of the child, his name was called Jesus. No, I don't. Yeah, how long was purification? 30 days?
Somehow I have 20 days in my head, but I don't know.
Oh, yeah, something like that.
Yeah.
You go to Matthew 2, it talks about when Herod heard that, after Jesus was born in Bethlehem in Judea during the time of King Herod, Magi from the east arrived in Jerusalem asking, "Where is the one who has been born King of the Jews? We saw his star in the east and have come to worship him." Well, when King Herod heard of this, he was disturbed, and all Jerusalem with him. When he had assembled all the chief priests and scribes of the people, he required where Christ was born, in Bethlehem. Okay, then Herod called the Magi secretly, learned from them the exact time the star had appeared, and sending them to Bethlehem, he said, "Go and search carefully for the child, and when you find him, report to me, so that I too may worship him." After they had heard the king, they went on their way, and the star they had seen in the east went ahead of them until they stood over the place where the child was born. Now, skipping down to verse 12, "And having been warned in a dream not to return to Herod, they withdrew to their country by another route." Okay, verse 13, "When the Magi had gone, an angel of the Lord appeared to Joseph in a dream. Get up and take the child and his mother and flee to Egypt. Stay there until I tell you, for Herod is going to search for the child to kill him." So that's got to be shortly after
his birth.
His birth.
It says they came and stood over his place of birth.
Yeah. So.
Yeah. Anyway. Oh, well.
I mean, if you read all four of them, each one has something different than the other one. And they all don't agree on all the same subjects either.
No, they don't, do they?
No. So, I mean.
I think it, doesn't it, somewhere later on, doesn't somebody give an account again? Paul or somebody?
Maybe in Acts?
Yeah, they repeat it, the story, in Acts maybe or something?
I don't recall anything like that. I don't think so, but I think. You know of any?
I don't know, but anyway, I'm sorry I brought it up.
Well. I think there is a lesson there. You've heard me say this, I beat the drum on it quite a bit, but the way that the Bible is conveys a message that it's true in a way that's different from a newspaper account or whatever, you know?
Yeah.
It's a different way of being true. And the Bible's It's telling us that. It's sending that message. No, it's not.
Well, if Matthew had a little bit of a discrepancy,
yeah.
Let's suppose that Matthew's account is not, you know, there's a few things that are not quite the same as the rest. What about, you know, so in Matthew 28:19.
Yeah. Well, I mean, Glenn just read, I don't think it's that he's wrong necessarily. He's just not giving as much detail about it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that could be.
Because it says that they came and stood over the place of his birth.
Because
could have been born 3 years before.
I guess. it took him 3 years to find out where he was born.
But the star guided them there. See again. Right. So I mean,
and I have a little trouble with that star too, because you know it's a star in the east. Well, they'd be out in the middle of the Mediterranean Sea if they were heading east from Jerusalem. No, they'd be. That would kind of suggest that they were west. Well, that's the middle of the Mediterranean Sea. You know,
Well, what it said they were. They came to Jerusalem from where, though?
What?
Distant land. Followed a star that was in the east. Well, they must be west of Jerusalem if they're following a star that they end up in Bethlehem.
Couldn't they have been north or south?
I suppose they could.
I mean, I'm just asking.
I suppose they could. It's kind of funny if it says, south. Yeah, that's true, I suppose.
There's a lot of open land to the west of Jerusalem.
Well, not much. You hit the sea pretty darn quick.
Yeah, but I would think that star was probably like. It was doing some miraculous guidance.
It got their attention.
I don't think it was like way off. I think it was pretty darn.
I suppose. Maybe they were 20 miles away. Boy, look at that thing.
How did you use a star to pinpoint a location?
Yeah, it wasn't just any star. I think that star was pretty vivid about how it was right there guiding across.
Well, remember, they were much more attuned to looking at the sky at night.
They were.
Yeah, they were.
In
those days.
They were always staring at the sky.
And how did they know that it was his star? So we have seen his star.
That's God, see? That's
yeah, but how did they know that?
The spirit.
It had to be a spiritual experience.
Right.
Somehow.
So that answers why what you just said a minute or two ago. You can't make it. You can't look at it as if it's a newspaper account.
What is the truth?
It kind of that confirms that.
You're right.
You know?
that's kind of my point. but it keeps talking about star in the east.
Yeah.
Hey, you gotta be. Maybe they came by sea. You know, maybe they.
I had another question this morning as I was reading all these angel visits in Daniel and whatever, and I thought, where did they ever come up that angels had wings? And never ever an inference that there's wings.
Yeah.
They didn't need them.
Well, no. And a lot of times, now there's things about in heaven, there's things flying around, but I don't know that they're angels. And it doesn't mean they're flying around with wings. The only ones that have wings are the four creatures.
Yes, the seraphim whatever. They've covered up their face.
Yeah,
right.
But otherwise, Michael and Gabriel, they just appear.
And I suppose man being man kind of makes it natural.
Yeah.
Because they had to have flown there.
Yeah, right. And even the angels from the four corners, you know, they're just there. They're not soaring around with wings.
When I had that dream that caused me to come back to Seattle, and I saw an angel, and in my mind he was a big guy. He was a big fellow. And looked like a person, dressed in white, but of course he didn't have wings.
Right.
Just a person. But I knew it was an angel. And he had a hand in the air and he said, "The Lord is coming. The Lord is coming." And I said, Do we have time to tell our loved ones? And he said, "You just have time." And he's gone. That was the experience. It was a dream.
Well, Susan's experience, the angel had wore a cardigan sweater. I get hit up at there. And
yeah, she was quite comfortable with a comfortable angel.
Yeah. Angels wearing cardigans.
Yeah. So some of my thoughts this morning, you know, were, well, God, relating between him and us, has angels, and so when they appear, the man Gabriel, you know? Otherwise, you wouldn't relate, probably, whatever. I don't know, but it's... And so then I thought, so if the man Gabriel, which is the image of man, because he looks like a man, right? So then when God said in the beginning, let us create man in our image.
Could be talking with angels.
Yeah.
That
all of a sudden that kind of
that was the yeah that's where I kind of
clicked together. You know,
the we were us was
right.
God and the angels. That's yeah. kind of an assumption.
But anyway,
and it, yeah, your point about the wings is valid. I think that's just man
yeah.
made a good movie one time or
right.
something.
And well, all the movies since now, all these weird ones yeah. where they're doing things that, believe me, Michael or Gabriel would not be doing.
Yeah.
You know.
But yeah, I mean, I think about the angel that appeared to Mary. Had to look. Had to. That she was startled, and they wanted, you know, they were saying, you know, fear not, and they were saying, you know, don't. So obviously, they're it's a manifestation of like thing here's got these wings or so, you know. Obviously, that wasn't the case.
Now they sometimes that were shown. It says with the
The glory. They were in all in white, and radiance was coming off them. But it doesn't necessarily call for wings. You're right.
But they, you know, see, they were flying around, and how do things fly around as wings? They were up in the heavens, and they were down in the earth, so they had wings. That's how they were doing it. That's why we couldn't do it. It's kind of like that's why Jesus is God, because he's doing all his miracles.
Yeah.
It's just, flesh given enough time will just boil it right down to the most convenient thing and ignore all the...
We'll work it out.
Ignore all the word... All the word support and go, no, that doesn't...
Kind of like making Jesus a god.
I think Hosea, he gets transported.
Well, and what's his... Who was it that got transported from Azotus or, you know...
Yeah, well, that was
Ethiopia, Philip, yeah, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
He didn't have wings.
Yeah, he didn't sprout wings.
No.
At least we aren't told about it.
No one mentioned it after.
Right.
Yeah.
Oh. I tell you, from here to there, those wings must come in handy.
That would be a hell of a big set of wings to get me up.
Don't look out short.
And then I was watching the BBC animal thing, and they were showing birds on there that I can't tell you what kind they are, but they got wingspans that are about this long, just on one wing, but they have to run into the wind to get up, you know? They're all, I mean...
Albatross or something?
Something. But anyway,
up there, huh?
Yeah. I mean, and they are long wings, you know, to get to that thing.
Vultures that have like a
6 foot.
It's seven wider, feet. Way more than that, I think.
Yeah.
Each wing is almost 6 feet.
Yeah.
So I'm just, you know, but then again, who gave the devil horns and a tail?
Yeah.
You know.
That's right.
Yeah,
I don't know where that came from.
Yeah, where did that come from?
We got some awful heavy turkeys that don't have an awful big wing and they can fly.
Yeah.
Yeah. Oh,
I don't know how they do it.
They can do it, but they don't want to do it.
No. It's a last resort, generally.
Right.
And not for very long.
No.
And they can glide, though. Really glide well.
Yeah,
so you got to be in the woods sometime when they decide to go up to roost. Mm-hmm. I mean, you think something's coming to eat you up?
Oh, it is a big explosion.
Oh, man, it's loud.
We have a little...
We're scaring you.
Yeah. Or when they come down in the morning, too.
What are those little apples?
Crab apple
tree out here. And the turkeys like to eat underneath it. You know, they'd fall in there and eat these little crab apples. And one day, one of the big fellas flew right up into the top of it.
Really?
He just, boom, right in the top, and the thing was all, you know. And anyway, of course, that knocked a bunch of apples on. And anyway, that was quite a sight. He was. It looked like he was tangled in there. You know, you could run outside and grab him.
What if he was trying to knock him down for all his?
I don't know.
For his gals.
That's what happened. Mm-hmm. He knocked a bunch of them down.
Boy, how did we get from there to there?
Yeah.
Wings, turkeys,
wings.
They're good barbecued.
Well, but more to the point was, they're always depicted the wrong way, and
we
kind of went on. It's just someone came up, and it just made sense, and so.
When you don't have the spirit, you got to come up with something.
Well,
of all the kind of mistakes we make, though, that's a pretty harmless one, I think.
The Bible says
it naturalizes.
Beware of something. We entertain angels unawares.
Yeah, sure.
And you know what? I wonder how many times that is.
I don't know. It bothers me. Because I got a feeling I've not treated some of them like they wanted, were expected to be treated.
It is true. You got to be a little way. You got to be.
Yeah.
You know? That is true.
Now, I mean, I'm more aware now than I ever was because the word is convicting. You know, I mean.
Yeah, wouldn't that be a horrible thing to realize what you've done? Blow off an angel. Oh, well.
Well, like, that angel that helped me didn't have wings. But it had to be an angel.
Mm-hmm.
But you know what? Could have been you. Could have been any one of you. Because that's what he looked like. He had a face, he had hands, strong fella. But there was something wrong with his body because I swung the suitcase or the cooler right through him. I did. I had my right arm like this and walking up to the hill and I flung the thing and it threw me off balance. And I started to fall. Next thing you know, the guy's got a hold of me.
Mm-hmm.
I just threw the cooler right through him.
Mm-hmm.
I didn't even think about it. You know how many, here's a guy helping me? Well, I'm not thinking about things like that until afterwards.
Mm-hmm.
Well, if he wasn't an angel, who is he? Where'd he come from? And Brittany's got a flashlight right on me and she don't see him.
Mm-hmm.
How do you explain that?
It's funny how these things happen. I think it's intended to convey a message, though, that his eye is always on you.
Well, and I told him, when I'm talking to this, whoso, whatso, and I said, I'm sure glad you were here. And he said, well, that's what we're for.
Did he?
And, I'm thinking, that's you. That's Ken. He said, well, that's what we're for.
Mm-hmm.
To help one another. And now now I'm not sure what he meant. You know?
Sounds pretty clear to me after that.
Yeah, right. That's what we're for.
Well, I'm thinking, well, that's what I'm for. That's what you're for. That's what we're for. We help one another.
Okay. Has that meaning? It you also could explain a couple of angels.
So, did anyone else have anything they came across during the week? Since Sunday?
What was it you were going to... Remember something you had?
Oh, I was Gabriel.
Oh, yeah.
It's not the only place where it's real iffy. Is this an angel? Is this God? Is this a man? You know, Abraham came and ate lunch with Abraham.
Yeah.
Said it's a man, but then he talked like God and maybe an angel, you know. In a way, maybe it doesn't make a lot of difference if it's an angel or if it's God. Well, God, I mean, they're kind of said to do God's will. They would have God's mind.
But sometimes they weren't. They were somewhat coy about it. I mean, sometimes they declared, and then sometimes they didn't. It was kind of like to have this conversation to see where they were at, or, you know, a messenger of God said, you know, I'm a messenger of God. And Other times it's kind of like they kind of hang around for a while, and you know, it's just it's just interesting how they were they're used differently.
Yeah. And there is a kind of interchangeability in some sense too.
Yeah.
I guess it's all right. Yeah. I mean, there's a God, an angel. Yeah.
God's in charge, and if that's what he wanted to do, it's all right.
That's right.
Yeah. It's really helped me a lot. I keep going.
Yeah.
What do I think about this? It doesn't matter.
it appears in back in Exodus that that God spoke to Moses out of the burning bush, and yet it says in someplace else it says that the angel spoke to him out of the bush. It's like it doesn't matter, you know. Did an angel speak to me? What did I hear that morning? Did I hear anything? Did I hear from the inside?
Yeah.
Nobody else heard it. I mean, Joanne was sleeping. I don't know. But it was, to me, it was enough to shake me up and make me turn around and see who was talking. It was enough to shake me.
Yeah, to me, it
doesn't matter.
It could be a voice, but what happens is you know that it got conveyed to you.
And it was from God.
And you heard, and it came into your mind however it came in, so that you knew.
It turned everything around for me in an instant.
That time when I fell on my face and couldn't get up, I didn't really hear any voice, but I knew I was receiving something, you know.
Yeah.
And whatnot.
Yeah, the Holy Spirit.
Yeah, whatever. I got the thought, though, and that was, this is like the billionth of who I am, and
you can't move.
Yeah.
And you feel like you're halfway through the floor.
Must have been trying to send you a message.
Well, I've been crying out kind of and praying for it, you know, to meet God or something. I don't know how it was actually worded at the time, but and he was faithful, you know, in that particular case. I mean, it just, all I can remember is, I don't know how much of him showed up, but it was awesome. I'm sure it was very little of him.
Yeah.
The picture's a lot different than I used to think it was. I want the truth. I want real Christianity. I want the right leadership. I want God to lead us by the Spirit. I don't want to goof you guys up or myself up or anybody else up.
Mm-hmm.
I want it done right.
You know, if you goof us up, that's our fault. It's not.
Right.
Yeah, I mean, if we let you goof us up without any correction, then there's something wrong with us, too.
But I'll still pay for it either way.
Yeah, you know, and we will, too.
Yeah.
You know, because we followed, you know.
It is true that...
don't follow me.
Yeah.
You know, you saw it at the time of the move. People trying to come up with excuses. Ah, come on now. Hey. Don't do that. Don't try to duck responsibility that way. Don't do that.
Just like the man that gave the great feast. invited the people, they didn't come. All excuse not to come. You know.
Yeah.
Are you saying excuses that they, it wasn't their fault or something?
Right, or something, or blame, you know, shifting blame to the leadership or whatever.
Wrong excuse.
Yeah, it's a different kind, but it's the same, you know. Shifting blame. Shifting blame. You know, hey, come on. You mean you didn't?
I always had the thought that why didn't any of the elders come and apologize to us laymen? You know,
mm-hmm.
they were overseers. If either they didn't do wrong, or they did, and if they did,
didn't most of them choose to leave the church?
Yeah,
that's how they apologize.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. Yeah. It's like
their acknowledgement of sin was, I'm out of here.
yeah,
bad for you. Something I don't know, but it's not a big deal.
No,
you know,
whether.
Yeah, I mean that God will deal with that with them.
Yeah,
but you know, generally, kind of you would think that you know there'd be an apology, like, oh, we were misled, and so were you, and we're sorry. You know.
Whatever. Yeah.
But it took me a while before I admitted that to my wife, so.
Well, I apologize for me and for the rest of the elders that, you know, that didn't.
Keith, I've told you before, and I'll say it again. You must have said, if not once, multiple dozens of times, this is what you do, and what you brought was fine. What happened, what was done, was not what you brought. And you warned us in every message. If you wanted to hear it, it's Charlie saying, you know, whatever you bring up. It's like, and the first step in anything that we're going to do is repentance.
Mm-hmm.
And if, you know, if you have to, and your repentance is before God, but if you've got a true heart for God, and your sin may have hurt a brother or a sister. Where I'm at now, I need to talk to that brother and sister and repent to them as well.
Mm-hmm.
We weren't really founded on the word as solid as we
thought
we were.
For sure.
As we thought.
That was the whole problem.
That's exactly right. And that's how the enemy was able to take us out.
But,
hey, we're here. We're here right now.
A lesson learned?
Yeah, well, that's right. Yes, it was. Sure was.
A great lesson.
And I think that actually has helped us in this part of our walk.
Well, you know what it did? It revealed how cunning the enemy really is. And he is an angel of light.
That's right.
And he does have ministers of righteousness.
Uh-huh.
That are false ministers.
Mm-hmm.
You got a lot of them.
Yeah. That description in Corinthians is so, that just stands out now, doesn't it?
Yeah.
Never saw that before.
No, me either.
You know, it's amazing how God can enlighten the scripture, you know,
mm-hmm.
at the time when it's needed, when you're ready for it.
Mm-hmm. But he won't do it until we're ready either.
No.
And he's the only one who knows if we're ready.
Yeah.
I mean, I again, you know, and it's the same when you read Revelation, but I read Daniel, and it's like, it's just not there now. I mean, it's like, all these kings from the south, from the north, that came up, and then this one went down, and it's a prophecy So it's like it's going to come to happen sooner or later, but it's if God ain't showing you, you ain't going to figure it out. You know, there's just no way. And there are guys that sit and try to put this and that together, but I know they don't. It's like the missing link, you know. It just don't come all together. There's missing pieces.
It just seems to me that our route to maturity, getting where we are to be, that route is one that includes a lot of mistakes, includes sin.
Yeah.
Quite a bit of sin. If you were perfect and righteous in all of your ways throughout that whole thing, well, first of all, you'd be pretty proudful. You would have a lot less sympathy for other people's failings.
Which would be sin.
Which, right? Right. I just see what has happened, you know, as...
I regret none of it.
Yeah, right.
Because it got me to where I'm at now, which
exactly.
I don't know where that is, but it's
whatever.
Way better than what I was before.
Yeah, right.
You know?
And, you know, the mistake is getting off and giving up and, start blaming people and so
right.
I can't, you know.
Yeah.
That's the mistake. That's the mistake.
And the thing, you know, I was so perfect before all that took place. Don't buy that. You even Chuck didn't buy that.
No.
Nobody did it.
Well,
do I have anything more?
I got some stuff off the record, though. When you're done.
On the tape?
No. No, please not.
Okay.
No.
God bless you.